Well, it was short. It was short-lived, the Jonathan Smith era at Michigan State.
I really wanted it to work.
I did too, especially after the nightmare that the Mel Tucker era ended. I wanted it to work for Michigan State, and it did not. They have decided to relieve Jonathan Smith of his duties. Let's bring in Chris Solari, MSU beat writer for the Free Press. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm fine. He and I were talking about the Steelers last night. Uh-huh. Let's table that for now, Chris, and we'll really just talk about the Spartans.
Consider me a blank face and just like Aaron Rodgers.
Oh. All right. So were you shocked that Jonathan Smith was relieved of his duties? My guess is you're going to say probably not, but it seemed like a well-kept secret here.
Yeah, I'd say probably not. I think probably the surprise was that they really, from a timing standpoint, I mean, Pat Fitzgerald was the guy for Jay Batt, you know, but he was a free agent really the whole way through this. So I think that was maybe the surprise more than anything of, you know, you had a guy that was lined up and there was, he didn't have another job and he didn't have any real suitors at that point.
And besides, you know, really that Big Ten experience, what do you think, you know, Fitzgerald can bring to MSU that Jonathan Smith couldn't?
Well, I think the Midwest ties is a big thing. I think, you know, that, you know, you don't have to learn a new recruiting ground. I mean, he's a guy that's been in one place for 17 years. And now you've got a guy going back into those places that he had been. So it's not a new concept for him with some of these things, you know, in the lay of the land in terms of just all the little nuts and bolts of, you know, where things are and not having to introduce yourself to high school coaches and all that. So I think that's one thing that they bring. And, you know, I think you get a coach who's hungry. He's hungry to prove himself again after what happened that ended his tenure at Northwestern. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Jonathan Smith is a great football mind. You know, having success, you know, at his alma mater at Oregon State is no easy feat, but that's where he found himself prior to taking this Michigan State job. I'm just curious to know from your perspective, from players that you've talked to, what was the locker room like this year during Big Ten play in particular? Because, it felt like they, you know, they came to play every week.
They did. And, I mean, even last week here, I mean, you saw they had to fight and claw their way to get that win against Maryland and keep that win, that losing streak from growing even further. You know, I think that the thing about Jonathan Smith is that sometimes you try and put a square peg in a round hole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by all accounts, when he was hired, he was a good fit. He knew how to get assistant coaches. He knew how to get players with lesser resources. But, you know, you uproot staff and their families, basically go three quarters of the way across the country to a place much of that staff had never been before in terms of working. And
is it early for you, Chris?
It is. It's a little early. Usually I'm up for the kids at this point, but no, it's going to be, it's fascinating, man.
Yeah,
it is.
And do you think Jay Batt wanted to just have his own coach in there from the beginning, or he wanted this to play out and then he decided?
No, I think he wanted to make it work. I mean, he had an ample opportunity to end this earlier than he did. Now, why it dragged out the whole way through the season, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think maybe he was given it a little bit of a chance for Smith because he saw how the players were really responding.
Right.
I mean, outside of the UCLA game, they were in and fighting all these games. And, you know, if you think about it, if the Iowa game and the Minnesota game go differently, and those are two of the closer games.
Are we here at this point with him leaving East Lansing? Right.
You might not be because they're preparing for a bowl game. That would be six wins.
All right, Chris, well, we appreciate it. I know I asked you to come on here, and I said pre-school bus with your kids, and you did that for me. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it, Jane. Yeah, thanks, guys. Anytime.
All right, great. Well, we'll talk Michigan State with him in the future. Yep. Thank you, Chris.
All right.
The other team we're talking about a lot is the Lions. Mm-hmm. And, like, time running out. They no longer control their own destiny. Dan Campbell talked about this yesterday, and he says, time is running out.
Our margin for error is very small right now. So, of course, we got to find a way to win, and we want to win, you know. And I think I go back to this. I mean, we just lost one. We got to find a way to win this next one in front of us. And yeah, I mean, time's running out. And so, you know, it's all about finding a way to win the game.
I mean, how did we get here? Such high expectations. Now they may not make the playoffs.
Well, here's how I think we got here. I mean, again, you're talking about injuries to that offensive line, which has been problematic. You know, Frank Ragnow retiring preseason hurt. You know, Amon-Ra got banged up in that Thanksgiving Day game and, you know, didn't come back. You know, you're without Sam Laporta. So, I mean, offensively, the things that make those wheels turn are, you know, they're kind of flat. You don't have all the air in those tires. So that's problematic in and of itself. And then, you know, whatever's happening with this play calling situation, whatever's happening with the OC. And I don't know, but I think we have to recalibrate our expectations for this team for the rest of the season, which is unfortunate in my mind.
I think there's going to be, if they miss the playoffs, a lot of heat on Brad Holmes for indecisions or decisions not made to bring in anybody else.
Yeah.
They never want to, like, bet the farm and get rid of draft picks. But the window's now. Like, look at what Micah Parsons brought to the Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
And they gave up a lot for him.
Yeah, I just, I wonder if they saw the writing on the wall a little bit at the deadline. Like, they're hurt. I mean, at that time, you know, again, Sam Laporta wasn't hurt. Amon-Ra St. Brown wasn't hurt.
Right.
But I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. That is frustrating. And I think that should be put under a microscope a little bit.
Then on Friday, I was talking with my husband that maybe he didn't make any moves on the offensive line because they had been talking to Frank Ragnow and they fully expected him to return. But now that he's not returning, now I'm back it's on like, the, you should have made a move. But Dan Campbell again yesterday said, look, all is not lost. Let's just win out from here.
I've also been in these now before where we got counted out when I was a player. You know, we lost two in a row and we were almost mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. That was all the writing, and then we won out and got in, you know. So you just, man, you find a way to win the one in front of you and don't get caught up in the rest of the stuff. That's the bottom line. We're in this business to win. We're trying to win. We got to win.
Have to win.
Now you have to win.
Have to win. Cowboys Thursday. Beat them. Oh, and then
the
Rams.
By the way, looks pretty good.
I mean, they've turned around a little bit.
Oh, and then you got to go to the Rams, who are 9-3 and look like one of the best teams in football.
Yeah, so that's fun.
I mean, it's going to be tough.
The schedule
is
not easy, man.
No, and this is where, like, those games against Philadelphia where you leave a lot of meat on that bone, right? And you want those in your pocket for later on, right? You want to give yourself a little bit of leeway, a little bit of wiggle room later on, and they have zero wiggle room.
None.
Unfortunately, yeah, this is what's happened this year. It's very upsetting. I had high hopes, and here we are. So we'll continue to watch this and talk with Lomas Brown at 8:35, go inside the huddle and see what he sees. Coming up next, it seems like there could be some positive movement when it comes to the Ukraine and Russia peace deal. If you just ask Marco Rubio, we're going to ask a political science professor about what he sees at 6:49. Now I'm going to talk to you about this European vacation. I'm very excited about it. It's happening next year in 2026. You have to get ready to savor Southern Italy and indulge in its bold flavors, vintage wines, and timeless beauty. With me, Jamie Edmonds, for an unparalleled experience, October 10th through the 15th, as we take a journey of the senses through Puglia and private tours of the ancient towns of Matera, Abel Arbello, where we'll behold the iconic stone Trulli houses and so much more. With acclaimed chef Michelle Bomarito and John Filone, co-owner of Cantoro Italian Market and Trattoria, we'll enjoy authentic local dishes, wine tasting, pasta making, and breathtaking legendary landmarks. Space is limited. Join my husband Ryan and me for our 10-year anniversary next October and visit exceptionaljourneys.net or call 1-855-305-8982. That's 1-855-305-8982. Italy awaits us. Ciao.
6:44, time for ION Engineering, brought to you by CSP, rethinking composites for a lighter, sustainable future.